The gender gap in higher education is very different from what it used to be, where once men dominated student bodies. Now it's the reverse. Women are greater in number. But still, many campuses are home to a center dedicated to giving women a helping hand. It's a big anniversary for the Women's Resource Center at Southern Oregon University, which turns 40 this year. We get a chance now to visit with current leaders and one of the founders. Rosemary Dunn Dalton was the first director of the WRC at Southern Oregon University in 1976. She's in the studio with us now. Rosemary, good to have you here.
Good morning. Good to be here.
We have the current director of the Women's Resource Center, the current coordinator, Raya Safady, is our guest on the exchange. She's been here for just this academic year. Raya, welcome to you.
Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
And we also have with us Janelle Wilson, who's the coordinator of the Queer Resource Center, also at Southern Oregon University, who's had a chance to know some of the previous Women's Resource Center coordinators and directors. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
So, Rosemary, let's start with you, Rosemary Dunn Dalton. Talk about the general climate that existed at the time of the Women's Resource Center's founding.
Well, when we started the center, first of all, I'd like to say it's great to be sitting with these two activist women, fantastic feminist women. My graduate program was part of the Lifelong Learning Center and reached out to women who are going back to work, back to school, and they came out in droves. And so the Dean of Students, Mary Chrisley, instantly wrote a grant so that I could start a center. And so that's what I did and moved over to Britt, which was where the counseling center was, and put up a sign on a front desk that said, Women in Transition. Mm-hmm. Anita Lacey actually designed that sign. And the reason we started Women in Transition is very different than today for all the reasons that you alluded to. But it was a time of reentry so that we were serving women who were coming back to work, back to school. So they tended to be, they were non-traditional women students, and they had no place on campus. So we created a spot for them. So what that meant was this instant firestorm of women coming. I mean, we had many, many groups, starting with assertiveness, child care stuff, women in welfare, moving back to work, back to school, going through the community, talking about mental health issues, and certainly educating all of the agencies about women and women's reentry process, what they're facing, the kind of prejudice and discrimination they were facing, what to do with kids. We had women talking about how to avoid making dinner every single night. I mean, really, the firestorm really came from husbands and families who really didn't want their mothers or their girlfriends or their sisters to move out of those roles that, of course, women had always played. Mm-hmm. So it was a fabulous time. The 70s was a fabulous, 60s was wonderful, but 70s was, I think, when the explosion happened. And it was so fabulous to be there when the click went off. And it still happens when we're working with women who are, survivors or victims of domestic and sexual violence. You're sitting, you're talking to them, and you see this, you see them change in front of you, and you experience that click, that moment where they really know there's a chance to have a different life, a chance to be free. So we called it the Women's Liberation Movement because it was a liberating process.
How long did you stay at the Women's Resource Center in that first incarnation?
Yeah, well, I was there from 76 to 80. Mm-hmm. And then when I left, I started a private practice because I had my master's and kind of took the counseling end of things to a different level, but continued the groups and stuff. And so, of course, we had a board and... there was a lot of activists.
I just wonder over the course of the 4 years, though, if you felt the mission changing, if the message was getting across over the course of those 4 years, if people had to struggle less by 1980 to break out of the traditional roles in the home than they did 4 years previous. Or is that asking for too much?
I'm not sure you can measure that because it was there was a lot of havoc. Mm-hmm. I'm walking down the street and I still get interrupted by. I remember when you said, and that'll come from a husband,
uh-huh.
or it'll come from someone who, you know, who went through the program and they're quoting me, and it's a little hard. One said, well, you should get a divorce. I said, really? Did I say that? Well, I probably did. Probably did say it.
Let's talk about the kinds of advice that gets handed out at the Women's Resource Center now. Raya Safady, first year here. I imagine you've done similar work at other places?
So I have been at SOU for 3 years now, and I started out working in the tutoring center. But prior to that, I've done a lot of work with first-generation marginalized students and kind of their pursuit of getting into higher ed. I have an undergraduate degree in gender and sexuality studies from University of Oregon, and I would say it all started with my fierce mother, Larkin Safady, who is a feminist and a wonderful woman who just really kind of instilled in me so many of these beliefs around equality and equity.
So talk about the mission now and the kinds of things you try to do at the Women's Resource Center, because I would assume that there's a bit less of the pressure that Rosemary Dunn Dalton noticed in 1976 from husbands and fathers trying to keep their daughters and wives at home.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, definitely things have changed. And at the same time, I think there's still a lot of work to be done. So we do a lot of focus around sexual and interpersonal violence prevention and response in our space. So I employ 8 students who do prevention work on campus. We get out and we talk to other students about really understanding ways in which they can be supported, knowing the processes on our campus, getting students just involved and engaged and talking about society and cultural norms that kind of perpetuate beliefs around women's objectification, men's entitlement, issues that really impact all of our lives. We definitely focus a lot on supporting all genders. So we are a space for everyone on campus. We want to engage men in the work that we're doing. We want to be engaging staff and faculty and the community because we realize that these issues hurt everybody and these issues impact our entire community.
The Women's Resource Center at Southern Oregon University turns 40 this year. Raya Safady is the current coordinator. Rosemary Dunn Dalton is the founder and first director back in 1976. And Janelle Wilson's with us as well. She's the Queer Resource Center coordinator at Southern Oregon University. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Rosemary was talking about the people who can remember things that happened way back when. Maybe you're one of them. We'd like to hear your story. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Janelle, you've had a chance to be something of a bridge here because you've seen several coordinators come and go at the Women's Resource Center. Is that right?
That is right, yeah.
And so how much year to year, in a span of a few years, will the mission or the work of the center change as you observe it?
I think that's a great question. And actually, my role now at the university, I'm no longer the QRC coordinator. I oversee our resource centers.
All resource centers.
All of our resource mm-hmm. centers, yes. And so thinking about how the mission has changed over the time that I've been at SOU, this is my 11th year. I think that every kind of new group of students definitely has a deep impact on what the mission and where the vision will go for the work that's being done within that space. And so it's definitely led, of course, by the incredible coordinators that we've had be part of our team. And I'd say, like, all of the coordinators that I've had the chance to work with have just been stellar individuals. And it's really our work within the resource centers is all about empowering our students to make positive change on campus in their lives. And that's something that I think I was seeing the connection between what Rosemary was saying mm-hmm. And the work that continues to be done. That's definitely a theme that continues that, you know, we're working with these incredible students. They're learning about their own empowerment and we help them along that path. And the Women's Resource Center coordinators just have helped so many people over the years that I can't even, it's unfathomable to me, the actual number count that, you know, it's hard to put that number count on it because it's just like a ripple effect of change and influence.
Any campus is going to have its own set of issues to deal with through its resource mm-hmm. centers. And as you mentioned, there's several here at Southern Oregon University. But then there's also a set of issues that happen in the rest of the world that mm-hmm. get talked about on campus. And I wonder, particularly with, for example, the discussion of the bathroom bill in North Carolina, how much mm-hmm. that has intruded into the work of the resource centers in the last month or two.
Yeah, that's a great question. So our work on campus for the resource centers, we are under the one of the pillars of student life at SOU is social justice and service. And so it's been interesting, like thinking specifically of the bathroom bill, because for Oregon, it's been part of our law for years. People having equal, you know, access, just period, to the restrooms has been the restroom that aligns with their gender identity has been part of our reality for the last, I think, 7 years. But the new, you know, the quote unquote new statements coming out against trans people being able to utilize those spaces is an issue that affects all of us. Clearly, people have all kinds of opinions about it. And for the Women's Resource Center, trans women use their space, gender nonconforming people use their space and seek that support and advocacy and activism, really, to ensure that they can use the fundamental thing that needs to get us through our day on a daily basis. And so I've definitely heard our students talking about it. And I think, you know, with what's recently been happening in Medford and the kind of, you know, the trending news that's coming from some people who maybe just aren't as well informed about the issues and
the demonstrations of bias.
Yeah, the demonstration of bias is always, I think, surprising, but I think it demonstrates again the need for us to have spaces like the WRC, like the other resource centers that we have on campus, to ensure that everyone's going to be able to access their education and access what they need in other parts of their lives as well.
Rosemary Dunn Dalton, at any point in the last 40 years, did you think, you know, I think within 5 years we'll have this licked? I think we'll have... okay, that, I think that answers the question right there.
No, but I am thinking about... So I have clients, of course. I'm a social worker. I went on to Boston to get my social work degree, and I came back, and I have trans clients. And I think about how important it is for me to know that the QRC in particular and the Women's Center are both there, because there's just not that much out there in the community, and certainly not for trans. So I just want to reiterate what Janelle is saying, how powerful that is. Something, you know, when we were running our center, women started coming out as lesbians, of course, and because that was really a very powerful time for that process. And so we've come, so much has happened since then. So now here we are with the trans situation, and the idea that there's a comfort zone is really, really special. So, yeah.
Let's talk about the things that you did after the Women's Resource Center, because I understand that the Dunn in the middle of the Rosemary Dunn Dalton is also about the Dunn House, which is a women's shelter in Jackson County.
Well, it happened simultaneously, and it came. We wrote the grants when I was directing the Women's Center. We wrote the grants for the Dunn House, and it actually started. That program started under the umbrella of SOU, and I think people don't really realize that. And it shifted because we set up our own board, became a nonprofit, and all of that. But we established the Dunn House as a program in 1977. So it's having its 40th anniversary in January, and I'll be working with Community Works around that and how to negotiate, how to really handle so many changes within Dunn House and all the folks they've served. So
has the mission even there transformed over time? I mean, it's basic things to get people out of abusive situations.
Yeah,
right?
I can't really speak for Dunn House presently because I'm on the periphery, and the leadership there is, our manager is so fantastic. But and she would probably have to speak to what kind of changes have taken place.
So let me ask any of you at the table, is the hope that eventually society gets the idea of justice and assimilates it so profoundly that there won't be the need for a Women's Resource Center or a Queer Resource Center? Janelle?
Gosh.
You were the first to nod.
Well, I think we could talk about what's coming out of Trump's mouth right now and how it's being really reinforced kind of universally out there, both by people who agree and don't agree, And there's a big regression going on, as far as I can see.
When you got millions of people voting for somebody who consistently says things that...
That discussion's happening all over again, talking about women's bodies publicly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Sorry to answer for
you. No, great answer. I think that for me, ultimately, personally, and I guess professionally, I hope that there won't be a need to have specific centers serving specific identities and groups of people who are striving for equity. I think that that is a long-term goal, and I don't think that it will happen within my lifetime. I think that my life's work is going to be surrounded with these issues, and it'll be something that we keep working toward. But I hope that one day in the future that this will all just be a nice radio show to listen to and think back on our history.
We could ask you, Jeff, what do you think? Because you're in this
Sorry, I asked the questions. I get one more to ask because we're running out of time here. But Raya, I don't know, do you think that securing rights for people is kind of a two steps forward, one step back kind of thing generally?
I mean, if we look at history, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I want to echo what Janelle's saying. Definitely, we hope we'll get to a place where we don't need to have these types of supports because all folks on our campus feel like there's a place for them. At the same time, we do know that, like, being supported and feeling like that there is a place that you can go and be seen and feel safe and feel secure is always going to be an important resource for anybody to be successful in higher ed, I mean, and in life in general. So I see the need for the support that we offer in our centers being something that continues on.
How many people approximately are served by the Women's Resource Center in the course of a year? Do you keep numbers on that?
Yeah, we do. So we track who comes into our center as well as like who comes and attends the events and programs. We do many, many events and programs on campus throughout the school year. And our hope is that we're able to serve or in some way impact and touch each student on our campus as well as staff and faculty and bringing in community partners.
Raya Safady is the coordinator now at the Women's Resource Center at Southern Oregon University. Rosemary Dunn Dalton was the founding director back in 1976. And Janelle Wilson oversees all the resource centers on campus. Thank you all for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.